Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, what's going on, everybody? It is the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. The heck am I doing here on a Wednesday? Sal Capaccio with you. Well, that's because the Buffalo Bills have a bye week this weekend. So I'll be on today. You'll get the guys, Derek and Zach, back tomorrow and Friday. As I have a couple days of downtime, but if something happens with the Bills, I'll be available. I'll be around. But in the meantime, today, chance to talk with you on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show about what's going on with your Buffalo Bills and your Buffalo Sabres. We're even going to do some college basketball today. How about that? It's that time of year. You know, it's the bye week. It's the right time of year. It's the right week for this, right? You got the bye week, the team, the Bills just lost. You want to kind of forget about that. Think about the next game in a couple weeks. But yeah, get that taste out of your mouth. Get the Sabres playing tonight against the Senators, looking for their first win. And we have Major League Baseball going on, NBA preseason about to tip off the season. College basketball about to tip off. We're going to do it all today. Going to have Paul Hamilton join me at 11 a.m. or so. A little bit of a moving target there with Paul with the Sabres schedule, Lindy Ruff talking, and practice. But also today, very, very special treat for you and very excited today for me to talk to a couple of college basketball head coaches getting ready for a big exhibition coming up at KeyBank Center a week from Saturday. University of Buffalo men's head basketball coach George Halkovich III is going to join me at 10:40 a.m. UB taking on Syracuse a week from Saturday at KeyBank Center in an exhibition game. And Syracuse head coach Adrian Autry is going to join me as well at 11:30 a.m. So we got UB head coach George Halkovich. We got Syracuse head coach Adrian Autry. We got Paul Hamilton, head coach Paul Hamilton. I mean, maybe Paul could be a head coach. Paul's going to join me on the Sabres at about 11 a.m. So before we do all that, let's talk a little Buffalo Bills football, shall we? And where this team sits at the bye week. And the clamoring, I mean, even downright demanding for changes to be made by a lot of you out there. 803-0550, what change do you want? I'm just curious on that because I get a lot of these kinds of tweets at Sal Sports, by the way. Shoot me a tweet on X. I get a lot of tweets. We get calls on a reaction show, but mainly through social media, I get a lot of this. And sometimes, you know, because of a certain amount of characters, the way people want to phrase it. And I generally think that, okay, this is the way I look at things. Fans are going to be fans, and that's great. And that's what's great about fans. And fans can be very reactionary and irrational and emotional sometimes. It doesn't mean you're wrong to want, like, hey, say this guy is playing poorly or whatever. But as I like to say on the reaction show, like, you can't just go and start firing everybody after every loss. You can't do that, right? It's not a productive way to run any business or sports organization, and it's not realistic, okay? But at the same time, people want some changes. And sometimes I get a very general statement from people about accountability. You know, when's accountability? What that was one yesterday I got. Where's the accountability? Well, look, what does accountability mean? Accountability means when someone steps up and says, I screwed up, I could be better, I could do something different. That's accountability. And when I heard Sean McDermott and Gerald Brady and Bobby Babich talk yesterday, I think they're accountable. But to you, maybe accountability is, oh no, you need to be fired. So what changes do you want? Do you want new players? You can't blow up the whole roster. Where do you want those new players? How do you want to get them? I like to have reasonable, rational discussions about these things sometimes. And it's not easy because it's not as easy as people think just to make changes like that. If you want to make a trade, great. Who are you trading with? Who's going to give you a guy and what are you giving up, and what's the salary cap implications? Those are things Brandon Bean has to work through. I'm not opposed to making changes. I'm not opposed to bringing in talent, more talent, different people, whatever. There's a lot of things that go into this stuff. Last year, they traded for Amari Cooper, and yeah, it was nice to see, and it was great when it happened. It didn't really work out. He got hurt. He wasn't on the field as much as you wanted him to, and he didn't seamlessly fit in right away, maybe, right, on an offense. There's a lot of things to consider. A couple years ago, you traded for Rasul Douglas. That worked. That worked. That was a great move. Rasul Douglas, he helped immediately. Maybe that's something that you're looking at. You can look at every position. You can look at players and say, well, this guy's not playing well. Okay, what's the answer? You can't just go grab an all-pro from another team. I think sometimes people think there's all-pros just sitting on other teams everywhere, and the Bills are the only team that don't have them. It's not the way it works. Doesn't mean that those players can't be better or can't be upgraded. But what's the process of that? And maybe it's coaching. Yes, I know a lot of you want Sean McDermott fired. It's just not happening right now. They're 4-2. They've been through lulls before. Those things are just off the table. They're just unreasonable right now to talk about. You want to talk about it after the season, however it ends? Sure. Even coordinators. Now, they have made changes at coordinator in the past during the season. Just did it 2 years ago to offensive coordinator with Ken Dorsey out and Joe Brady in. I think it's too early for that, but I give that space when people tell me about it or talk about it because they've done it before. Like that could, or something you want. Let's get to the phone lines. 803-0550. Let's hear what you have to say about this here on a Wednesday on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Mike in PA, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, Sal. Yeah, you know, I really think the Bills got to go out and get a trade. I know they're going to have to give up assets to get this player. If a team's willing to even trade you, we're kind of being reactive now in the wide receiver market instead of proactive and drafting one. But I think we're backed up in a corner, and I think we got to go after a wide receiver. And I know we need a cornerback as well or a safety, but you got to keep Josh involved. I've watched 3 games now where I've seen Josh on the sidelines, and it's becoming a meme where he's sitting there frazzled and just not into the game. And you got to keep him in the right headspace. So that's why I'm going to prioritize wide receiver. Plus, it's more fun when we're scoring touchdowns over a cornerback, which I think we equally need both of them.
I like it. I like it. So I think that what you've done for me here is that's the way I'd like to phrase this. Like, what's the priority for everybody, right? You say wide receiver, because you can't go out and just trade for a whole bunch of players and have a new roster. It's not going to happen. So wide receiver. Now, I do want to push back on one thing, Mike. I'm on the sidelines every game, as you know. I would definitely push back and say that Josh isn't into the game. Like, when he comes off the sidelines, the first thing he does is go talk to his position coach and grab a tablet and sit down and look what's going on. You may get a shot of him on TV, and he's looking down because he's looking at a tablet. He's looking to see. Like, they're trying to fix things after every series. So I don't think he's not into the game in any sense whatsoever. I think he's very into the game.
That might be the case. They're just catching him in a spot where he's looking confused and frazzled and frustrated, and it's just – I know the other fans are thinking that's perception, and maybe that's not. That's just how they're portraying it on TV. But I got to keep him involved. I don't know the last time I've seen him smile, really, and just be on the sideline. And they haven't shown it on TV. But I got to keep him involved, and I just got to keep that offense moving. But with that said, with some of the wide receivers, they have to go after younger talent. I would see, like, Chris Olave would be a guy. I even would go as far as to say Marvin Harrison Jr. I don't know.
I heard you say that. Didn't you? Did you call the last show and say that?
I did. Yes.
Yeah. And I just say, look, that's a pipe dream, Mike. It really is. It's unrealistic. I mean, the Arizona Cardinals aren't trading you Marvin Harrison Jr. It's just not happening. And if you want to give up a couple of first round picks, maybe, and dangle that. But it's just those are things that just aren't happening. But I agree with you. Younger talent at wide receiver. How do you get it? You draft them, though. That's how you get those guys. Let's go to Steve in Tampa. Hi, Steve.
Hey, Sal. I'm a Penn State alum, so between Penn State, the Bills, and the Sabres, it's been a rough couple weeks for me here. So I was actually texting with a friend on Monday night, and I jokingly said to him, you know, what if Sean McDermott is just NFL James Franklin? And afterwards, I kind of got to thinking there's a little similarity there, right, between the two of them. They both stepped into programs that were in really rough spots. They built him up. They got him into that national relevance, and they both have a pretty safe floor, I'd say, right, season to season, and kept you in that national conversation. But we just saw with Franklin, you know, there kind of came that point where there was less and less, I would say, goodwill with the fan base for not being able to get over the hump.
Right, but Steve, the question is, so Steve, you want this now? Like, you want this after six games of 2025?
No. What I want to ask you is, do you think we're on that same path? What's the tipping point, do you think?
I don't know, because I'm not the owner, right? And the owner would be the person that has to make that decision. The owner, yeah. And for me, from every indication I've ever gotten, like, the owner believes that he has a really good coach here, and that's not going to happen. Now, that being said, I don't know. I mean, I couldn't answer that. Maybe a season where you miss the playoffs without, you know, having major injuries.
Right.
If it happens, if you get to where you've been the last few years and it ends the same way, maybe that's it. I don't really know what the tipping point is, but it's not happening after 6 weeks of 2025. Let's go to Matt in Hamburg. Hi, Matt.
Hey, good morning, Sal. I just had two quick things. One, I'm not in the fire everybody camp. I think we have a lot of good things going on in Buffalo, but I do think that we are potentially staring down the barrel at having Jordan Poyer, Tre'Davious White, and Gabe Davis all on the field for us in starting roles. Mm-hmm. And that just seems like a 3-year setback. And the other part of what I was going to say, so, I mean, something needs to be done about that, but the other part
Where would you concentrate first?
You know what? Honestly, I do go back to I got to trust Bean, but it's hard to say if he keeps investing in the defense because he's covering up for a bad if he keeps investing in the defense because he's covering up for a bad defense, and that's why maybe he doesn't focus on receiver. I don't know what our fix is this year, but that'll bring me into the second part of what I was going to say. With our schedule, with the Chiefs and Ravens getting off to the starts that they got off to,
yeah.
I don't think we need to sell out like the Rams did years ago, but we need to make an aggressive move. We need to do something. The most success we've ever had at wide receiver was when we did make such a bold move for Diggs, and that was awesome for years until, honestly, he got a little older and lost a step.
The issue with that, though, Matt, is you did that in the offseason, right? That's something you do in the offseason. It wasn't something that happened during the season. If you want to do something now, and I'm not saying – I know what you're saying, and maybe you're saying that. They do it the offseason. Yeah. But you know, people want answers now, and I agree with you. You kind of have to think about – I agree with you that the schedule, the way it's set up, where you are, now's the year. Like, now's the year. And to be aggressive, I mean, to go to – you wait to the offseason, you're past that point. And I think that's where the issue lies. And that's where the, I guess, complication is. Let's go to another Steve. This one in Texas. What's up, Steve?
Hey, Sal. I talked to you a few weeks ago before the New England game. And it was like, you know, if they drop that game, and I don't know if you remember it all, I was like, oh, boy, we're going to go down there, and that game's going to be for the division. I sure am kind of sad that actually looks like it's going to happen.
Yeah, we all said the same thing. We knew that would be the case, and here we are a couple weeks later.
Yeah, but
So what do you think now?
Yeah, I think now I'm with McDermott and Brady. I'm really hoping they can just, you know, evolve just a little bit more. And the thing that just really concerned me about this game was that punt from midfield. Considering we know the defense is having trouble. And I think that was if I don't get this fourth down, this game could be over and I'm going to punt it back. But sometimes I think that, you know, you need to keep.
Which punt are you talking about? Second half? Are we talking second half? The one after Elijah Moore's play?
No, the first half punt when it was fourth and three and they were around midfield.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. Here's the issue I have sometimes, Steven. This is not a shot at you at all. I just want to ask you. When you say evolve, what do you mean? Because actually, I mean, I can sit here and people could think that I'm crazy, but I'm not. But when I say, like, Sean McDermott is actually very, very atop of, like, the the numbers on when to go for it, when to, like, he is actually very good at those things. When you say evolve, what do you mean?
I think evolve is, you know, when you're in that spot, I mean, I know there's the numbers, but the numbers are taking the league averages and not the fact that we still have Josh Allen as our quarterback. I think from that spot, you know, Dan Campbell's going there. And I think that's playing not to lose is punting from that spot. And you're showing your quarterback that he's got to do something special on third down because you don't trust him to go pick it up on fourth. If he gets short and Josh won't take a check down because if somebody gets fourth and one and they don't pick that up, McDermott's not going to go for it. I think that's showing that you're not confident in your quarterback.
Okay, I'm looking now. It looks like there's a 4th and 6 here maybe that they punted in the first half. I mean, there's a – okay, here we go. Wisnowski, 4th and 3 from the Bills 49. Sure, you could go for it there. That's fine. I will tell you this, though. You go for it there and you miss. I hope you don't call up and say, I can't believe they gave the game away right there.
No, because they're, you know, the game's already getting away from you in that spot.
Right.
I mean, that's the whole point.
Right. Okay, I get it. It's fine, Steve. It's one decision. I'm just saying, like, when you say evolve, like, this coach has actually really, really evolved since he's become the head coach. It's one decision you disagreed with. It's one decision you disagreed with, and I get it, and that's fine. And you can disagree with that all you want, and it doesn't mean you're wrong. And it's 4th and 3. Maybe they should have gone for it there. I'm looking at it now. Actually, that was 4th and 6. No, wait. That was it. Yep, that was 4th and 3. That was after the Josh Palmer. Josh Palmer was the last series before that. Sorry, but I'm just trying to figure it out here just so we're on the same page. DJ in Lockport. What's up, DJ?
Hey, first off, I'm still optimistic about the team. They're still going to figure some things out, but we've had these lulls before, so I'm not, like, you know, pulling my hair out thinking it's all over and done with and blow it all up. But my call is I kind of want to look back and really see how great Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer really were for this team, because I feel like every defensive struggle we had kind of folded over into the next year. But back when we had those two guys in their prime, it seemed like it didn't really matter. Milano was great, too, and Bernard came in was good. But, like, all the same issues we kind of see right now are happening without having two, you know, stud safeties back there keeping mm-hmm. everything in front of them. And it just goes to show that Bean can find these guys. It's just a matter of can we find a couple more. And I do have confidence that we do. I kind of don't like the fact that he's so ingrained in his job. And the reason why I say that is because he's not going to go out and just give up the 2 first-round picks to go get a good player, because he's not going to say, you know, if this doesn't work out, I won't be here to deal with it anyway type thing. But I keep thinking is, man, those guys were really great when we had them, and I hope we can find a couple more guys to fill their shoes, because I feel like that's a big part of McDermott's defense is not having those stud safeties back there doing what they always did. So I'll hang up and listen and have a great day, Sal.
Okay, thanks, Jim. I appreciate it. A couple things on this. Number one, I said Jim, I'm sorry. It was DJ. Hyde and Poyer were signed before Bean became general manager. They were signed after Sean McDermott became head coach, and then Brandon Bean became general manager later that year. I just want to clarify that, you know, timeline there when you said that he found them or whatever, however you phrase that. Number two is, and I know you're just DJ kind of, you know, maybe exaggerating a little bit, and that's fine, but there aren't very many trades mid-season where any team gives up 2 first-rounders for the greatest studs on other teams. It just doesn't happen, right? Like, again, like, you have to deal in reality of how it works. Now, that could happen in the offseason, and maybe you could find it. You could say, no, Sal, a team did this. Maybe. I guess it could happen somewhere. I don't remember in the season that those kinds of deals happening very often. I think the Rams might have did some a couple years ago with somebody. I have to go back and look. Was that Vaughn? What did they trade for Vaughn when they got him? Maybe that was something along those lines. But good start to the show. We're going to take some more calls before we get to George Halkovich, III, the head coach at UB Men's Basketball. That comes your way at 10:40. But more of your calls on how do you want to prioritize the changes? What changes do you want the Bills to make? And how do you want to prioritize that? Here, next on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. We're getting calls from all around the country. Thanks a lot for tuning in here to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR. Jim is in Connecticut. What's up, Jim?
Hey, Sal. Real quick before I ask my question, I don't know if you remember before the New England game, I came up to you and said my son went to school with Carl Jones. He's a news anchor in Rochester.
I do remember that. And Carl's a great guy. Yes, I remember talking to you about that. Your son is in Rochester also doing sports.
Yeah, he's at News 10. Yep.
Got it.
Anyway, question for you, and I'm going to reverse this. Since you're really in deep, you know everything about what's mm-hmm. going on with the Bills circuit, what would you do today based on where they're at? What would you do?
I'd make a couple calls. I don't know everything that's going on. I try to be as up to date, but you know what I mean by, you know, I don't know what conversations Brandon Bean is having behind closed doors, but I think they should look into getting someone who can help out on the outside speed-wise. I would call the New Orleans Saints about Rashid Shaheed. That could also help you in the return game, because right now Brandon Codrington's been inactive a couple times and he's not giving you a lot of juice. If you can get a guy like that, a guy that can help out in the return game, but also give you some speed and juice on the field in situations where a team has to watch out. That's the kind of guy I would target. That's a specific name, but something like that. On the back end, there are some free agent safeties available. I think safety is a tough one because there is a lot of complications with systems and understanding and onboarding guys. Justin Simmons is still a free agent. I don't know, Jordan Whitehead. I don't know if I'd even bring these guys in, but you have to look around and see. And then maybe you make a call or two. What's the pipe dream? Maybe Jeffrey Simmons, defensive tackle from Tennessee. That would be the pipe dream, right? There you go.
Cool. Thanks.
You got it. All right. Thank you very much. All right. Let's go to Peter in Buffalo. Hi, Peter.
Hi,
Peter, you're on the air, buddy.
Great.
Good.
Great show. Hello.
You're on the air. Go ahead.
Can you hear? Oh, okay. A couple things. One, I'm done with the everybody eats because it's obvious that Josh needs a speed threat and a number one. And the other thing is I'm really concerned about the play calling. If you looked at the scouting report on Atlanta, they were terrible at they weren't good against the run and they weren't good at covering the backside of the backfield. And we went away from that. We threw maybe two passes that were very successful to the running back, and then Cook was getting yardage. And then at the end of the game, you got the last three drives, you don't have Cook getting the ball. That's the same thing that happened in the playoffs last year. Cook didn't get the ball at the end of the game. And I just don't understand the play calling. Your best player's off the field. They didn't even throw a swing pass to Cook, did they?
No, I think they kept running backs in a little bit more because of all the blitzing the Falcons were doing. But, you know, I think that there is a counter there to throw to the running backs more. I don't know why Ty Johnson's not more involved in the passing game either. He was so good at it, you know. And I don't disagree with you as far as the game plan from Atlanta. It just didn't seem like it was the right approach against a team like that to get those guys involved, and totally understand. Let's go to Chase and Clarence. Hi, Chase.
Hey, Sal. How you doing?
Good, thanks.
So I just wanted to talk about the receiver, and I'd love to see the Bills get one. I just look at recent Super Bowl winners and like the Rams and Philly and see these teams go all in their Super Bowl window and trade first round picks and push money down the line to bring in really good players. And just want to see your thoughts of the Bills actually doing that, like going all in this year.
What is all in? What does all in mean to you? Like, what do you envision when you say that, Chase?
Trade your first round pick. Trade your next two first round picks.
Wow.
Okay.
Now, in order to do that though, somebody has to be available on a team that has a receiver that good, right? So that means a team that's probably not contending somewhere, a team that's not that good. So I don't know. It's great. It's a great thing to think about and have a, you know, and theorize, but I just don't know where you're getting a guy like that.
Yeah, Olave was my thought for it. Who knows if he's even available or not, but just anybody, just even if it's a safety or a corner, just trying something to go all in and not saving the picks for our future.
I don't think it's even necessarily about saving picks. I just think it's about availability and ability to do things like this sometimes. Yeah, picks matter, and Brandon Bean loves his picks, just like every GM does. Olave, by the way, is in the final year of his deal. He would be a great guy to add for any team, no doubt, and maybe that's something. I don't know how much that would cost, but that's a pretty, pretty, pretty hefty price to pay, and if you think about it, you know, you get a guy like that, he could be a free agent. You are losing that first-round pick, or even more, as you say. I'm not against bringing in talent like that. I just don't know what team that's not contending has a high enough level talent to say to you, yep, we're just going to give you that guy. When that team, you know what that team might think? Hey, that's a guy that we want to rely on to help turn us around, you know, going forward. It's just, it's not that easy. I'm with you though. I'm with you, man. Like Chase, go out, go all in. This is the year to do it. To me, this is the year to do it. Go all in. If there is a move to be made like that, then go do it. I'm with you on that. I'm very skeptical if there would be a move to make like that is my point. All right, good stuff here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. And taking your calls is getting connected with our fans. Brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Sabres have a game tonight downtown against the Ottawa Senators, looking for their first, not only win, first lead of the season. Paul Hamilton's going to join us at 11 a.m. But before we do that, we're going to have George Halkovich on. He is the head coach of the UB men's basketball team. They are in an exhibition a week from Saturday at home against Syracuse. Adrian Autry, head coach at Syracuse, going to join me at 11:30. We're going to preview it, talk about it with both head coaches, and get you ready for that exhibition, which is pretty cool to have that kind of game coming to Buffalo, New York here next Saturday before the actual season tips off. George Halkovich, the third head coach, UB Men's Basketball, on the way next on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
A week from Saturday, University at Buffalo men's basketball team will take on Syracuse at KeyBank Center. That will be a 7 p.m. start. Damon against Nazareth at 3:30 p.m. Exhibition college basketball is here, and that's because the regular season is right around the corner. So, great, great time to talk with George Halkovich III, the head coach of the UB men's basketball team, who joins me right now on the West Her Hotline. Good morning, coach. How are you? Good to talk to you. Last time I saw you, you were in the airport. We ran into each other, and you were on the recruiting trail. So now you can be settled in and coach basketball. Good morning.
No doubt. Good morning, Sal. It's great to be on with you. Really excited about, obviously, our season getting underway and getting to be in live action with hopefully a big-time crowd down at KeyBank against Syracuse, against a really tough opponent and well-coached team. So we're fired up. And, yeah, it's great to be off the road and more spending more time in the gym with our guys. But I think they're sick and tired of playing each other. They're ready to play somebody else.
Totally get that. Third year as the men's head basketball coach here at the University of Buffalo, from 4 wins to 9 wins. Nice improvement there. But what do you guys need to do to take the next step for UB this year?
Yeah, I think, as everybody knows, the landscape of college athletics has shifted dramatically in the last 5 years, right? So, with NIL, revenue share, so on and so forth, the biggest thing is being able to have the resources you need to go out and compete, right? And not, everybody can rebuild a roster and compete right away based off of the resources they have. And I feel like, we've been able to go into this year have the resources necessary to put together a really competitive roster. And that's where we're at right now in our, in our timeline here at Buffalo. And I'm fired up because, I think we have a depth and guys that are ready right now to go in and take on anybody on a given night. So, that's just it. You kind of got to live in the moment and know, this keeps changing every day right now in college athletics. Yeah. And you kind of got to be able to, pun intended, you got to be able to pivot, right? So hopefully we can jump stop and pivot against the Orange next week.
Yeah, listen, I mean, you're right at the right, time period of a coach where you've lived through both sides of it here, which is, how recruiting used to be without NIL and now the change that just came so swiftly. For you, what's that change been like? And do you have to kind of embrace it or you'll be left behind? It seems like the coaches who are fighting back against it are the ones that kind of just are saying, okay, this isn't for me, where the coaches who are embracing it are the ones that are maybe thriving a little bit.
Yeah, no, when I was at Villanova, right, before I got here, we embraced it immediately. We had to.
Yep.
We were at a level where we were able to go to, deep in the NCAA tournament, make Final Fours. In order to sustain that, you had to do it. You had no choice, right? So I think my perspective then immediately changed and understood, okay, this is just what the reality is going to be moving forward everywhere. And then, when you get here, you got to kind of understand the landscape here and, have some patience for us to build it to where we have it today. And I think we're only growing it. We have Turner Battle back as a GM here. We're building our infrastructure here at Buffalo to allow us to now be competitive in this new landscape, doing it our way, right? So I think it's all about embracing it, knowing where you're at, and then also being able to, with the resources, you still got to go out and recruit differently, right? You got to make roster construction decisions that are, all right, how does my team work this year? And then you might have to go and do the same thing again the next year with different guys, but try to stick to your core values, right? So I still believe you have to have culture, and that's something we've been keen on the last couple of years is installing and implementing our culture. And then fitting the right pieces in with resources is what we've been doing now to go out and compete night in, night out. So that's just what it is. And yeah, you gotta love what you do, and if you're gonna coach now, you gotta love being able to hopefully get some money into the players' pockets while they're in college.
One of the big things we always hear from coaches now, Coach, is retention of players. You have a couple of guys you've been able to retain who are going to be big parts of your program this year. Ryan Sable, Noah Batchelor. Tell us a little bit about those guys returning and what they mean to your program.
Yeah, to have a guy in his third year and Ryan with us is, you know, who's led us in scoring, who knows everything we do, who can help talk to some of these guys that are here for the first time. Why we do the things we do is invaluable. Same thing with Noah coming back for a second year with us, a guy that I recruited a little bit when he was, you know, coming out of high school when I was at Villanova. And then now him coming here, understanding what we do at a higher level through a year, being able to be a guy that was counted on last year and then ready to make that next step and lead as an older, experienced player, right? Those guys are invaluable. So having those two guys back along with Tim Oboe and Omar Magisa-Belich, who are both, I think, and have nice jumps in their sophomore year. I think Tim Oboe has got a chance to really just go to another level as a big man, right? Having four guys, three of them that started the majority of our games is really a key still to build some continuity around new pieces coming together.
When you go on the recruiting trail, what is your biggest selling point of why you sell guys on coming to the University of Buffalo to play for the Bulls?
I think number one, obviously, it's an unbelievable sports town, as you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, yep. It's, you know, you got the Bills. People are obsessed with the Bills here. I came from Philly before this. The same thing is with the Eagles, right? So, yep. I tell people, I'm like, the Bills, like, people give up their inheritances just to go to Bills games. It's unbelievable here, right? I love it.
Yeah.
And the passion is so cool. But to have that kind of passion, you know, the Sabres, you know, we don't have pro basketball here. So my whole thing is if we keep doing it the way, you know, and getting it to where we can get it to where it was when Coach Oates, Coach Hurley, and Coach Spoon, they all had great teams. You know, Coach Weitzel had great teams here. If we could get it back to where we're selling out Alumni Arena, where there's proof of concept, you could do it, and then you could go compete nationally, it's going to be a place people want to play. And I think that, you know, when you have a great sports city and a town that loves sports and rallies behind their team, you know, that's an unbelievable environment to play your college basketball and experience it in. So that's what we're selling, and we still tell them, like, hey, we're going to push you no matter how long you're here to be the best player, the best student. We got a great institution. You're going to get academically pushed, and then you're going to be pushed to be the best man you could be while you're with us. And I think that's our job still, right? These guys are in college. Are they going to make some money? Yes. Do we want them to be able to benefit from that? Yes. But we also want them to benefit from the experience of being pushed to be the best player, student, and man they could be with us.
George Halkovich the third, joining us here on the Wester Hotline. The University of Buffalo men's basketball team takes on Syracuse a week from Saturday, exhibition at KeyBank Center before their regular season tips off. We just talked about a couple of the returning guys. You mentioned a couple of the other guys, but who else on your roster can people get familiar with that you're excited about watching and growing and being a part of this team this year?
Yeah, so I think the one thing, we were able to get older and more experienced, right? But we also were able to get some really, I think, some guards that could really take us to another level. Two of them being Daniel Freitag, a transfer sophomore this year from Wisconsin, you know, had a great, you know, was a top 100 recruit coming out of high school.
Yeah.
And then I think he's going to really help us right away. I mean, he's just a dynamic guard that could score at all three levels. I mean, he's a high major athlete, right? And then the other one is Angelo Brizzi, who's a fifth year guy who actually played for us at Villanova, redshirted for a year and played for us at Villanova way back, who's now here with us as a fifth year. Another guy who I think gives us a high major body, who's older, experienced, he's been through battles, he's battle tested. And both those guys, to put them together at Ryan Sable, are just going to alleviate a lot. And then, you know, the other guys off, you know, we really tried to have a balance of our roster where we have, you know, guys off the bench coming in that could also play big roles, where we have two NIAA transfers that played 4 years at NIAA with DJ Talton, Derek Talton Jr., as well as Ezra McKenna, a dynamic guard like DJ who could change the game defensively coming in the game, and then Ezra, like a five-man who could go inside and out for us, who's, again, a guy that won a lot of games at the NIAA level. They were both All-Americans. And, you know, like I said, you know, then other guys, more freshmen or D2 transfers that are taking a jump up. You know, all of them, we don't know yet because we haven't gone against anybody, but I feel like there could be another guy with, like, you know, we have Mikael Pocknet here who had a really good D2 career. Kyle Jones, another guy who came from St. Thomas Aquinas to us. Guys that have played in big-time games at that level, taking the step up. So we love our experience, and, you know, obviously we have some freshmen that are going to get some time too. So right now we're just trying to figure it out, and then, you know, next week will be a great test for us as we go into our first official game on November 3rd.
One of the things that's changing college basketball is teams and schools hiring general managers. And you guys brought one in that's very familiar with the UB fan base and here in Buffalo. Turner Battle, one of the most decorated players in UB men's basketball history. What does it mean to have Turner on staff? What does he provide for you?
I mean, he's going out, and obviously he's so connected to this community. Obviously was one of the best players ever to play here. Yeah. Names in the rafters now, jersey retired. So having that guy as a not only just the man he is and the example to our players every day about, hey, this guy not only played here and was one of the best players here, went into coaching, his pro career got cut short because of injury, went into college coaching, did that. Now he's back here in Buffalo, you know, married a Buffalo girl, and they're back here. They put their roots here. He wants this to succeed so badly for us in this new age of college basketball. And to be able to have him out in the community trying to raise money for us, going out and trying to make the connections we need to get everybody to understand here that we want to be current in this landscape, is you can't find a better person to do that, right? Who also is going to take such pride because he wore the jersey for 4 years and was such a stud, right? So to have him not only in the community, but also to be able to have him with our players to say, hey, you know, look, Turner could tell you he went through the same things, and for him to be able to lend that value to them, you can't put a price tag on that. So it's been every day I pinch myself to be able to say, man, we got Turner Battle on staff with us. This is just awesome.
Tell us a little bit about yourself. Some people may not be as familiar with George Halkovich, and you know, what do you like to do when you're not coaching basketball and get a little downtime and family time?
Well, I love my family. Obviously, I'm a big family guy. Grew up in Pottsville, PA, which I think is like, it's coal region. It's, you know, an hour and a half from Philly, but it's more outside of Philly than Philly, right? And, you know, every home Yingling beer. And so everybody there we have a saying here, all in grit. I think grit is in your DNA if you grew up in Pottsville. And I think that's very similar to how people in the city of Buffalo operates, right? So, the community of Buffalo really resonates with me because of how I grew up. Right. And, you know, my wife, Lizzie, and my little guy, Colin, you know, we were pregnant with him, when we got the job here. So he's a Buffalonian, right? Yeah. So it's funny, just spending time with them, you know, he loves all the sports and all the different things. You know, it's just so great to have him and spend time with him and Lizzie any chance I get. So, and then if, you know, in the off season, if I get a little time, I like to hit the golf course and
I love it.
Try to decompress. I mean, that's really it. Yeah. I'm pretty simple. You know, I love pizza. I love Italian food, you know, and, you know, I like a good steak, right? It's pretty straightforward there. And, you know, if I have any free time, I'd like to talk about basketball a lot.
Well, listen, you're in a great area for all of that, as you know. Your counterpart on the football side, Pete Lembo, is a big 80s guy. He's a big retro guy, right? What about you? What's the TV show? You watch any good series or shows lately? Something you're like, you know what? I sat down and watched that. It was pretty darn good.
So you'll love this because this speaks to what I like to do in our free time. And, what okay. You know, when you have a young one, they dominate your time. So now my son's able to convey what he wants. And, you know, we were on a family trip driving in the summer. And it was a long drive. I said to my wife, like, look, we don't really do a lot of screens with them. But let's try to see if we could give them the screen. And we put on Space Jam, the original with Michael Jordan.
Yes.
Right. So 90s, right. So obviously we put it on and this dude literally watched it twice. And ever since then, he's obsessed with it. I think we're even, we're dressing him up like he's a member of the Toon Squad for Halloween. So, yeah, the funny thing is he'll talk to me about Michael Jordan. He'll knows all the characters' names, all the old players' names, Patrick Ewing, Muggsy Bogues. Yes. Just talks nonstop. So right now I'm on a big explaining to my son the history of Michael Jordan, also while doing, you know, what's up doc to him when he wants to laugh and talk about Bugs Bunny. So, you know, no, that's really what my time is right now, right outside of dealing with our staff, talking about what we need to do on a daily basis. Just, you know, being around my son and seeing him grow, like, honestly, is really what dominates my time. You know, that's it, man. Other shows I watch, you know, let me think here. I just started Tulsa King, you know, so on my
chance. Sylvester Stallone.
So Sly Stallone. And, you know, every once in a while I try to catch a show, but it's hard to catch up right now.
And then you have all these episodes you haven't watched yet, right? I'm the same way with Severance. I started watching Severance. I got into like two or three episodes into season two, and I don't think I've watched it in like 2 months. I'm like, when can I watch this again? I don't even know if I have time to watch this darn thing. All right, last one before I let you go here, another fun one. All right, so you're driving around. You got your music on whatever you use, your iPhone, your pod, whatever. You hit shuffle. George Halkovich hits shuffle. What is the most... a likely artist or band?
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly outside of Cleveland, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And to come up in your music playlist.
Wow. Wow. The Chainsmokers.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
All right.
That's probably like my, just the older Chainsmokers stuff, right? The, you know, Closer, all that stuff, all their great, you know, old hits, probably the ones that come up the most right now. And then, you know, again, like with my son, it's like, honestly, the most played on repeat. And I don't mean to, you know, we are Eagles fans. I love the Bills. Coach McDermott, I'm such a huge fan of him. They're my AFC team. But diehard Philadelphia Eagles fan, I'd be not allowed to go home ever, just like if people from Buffalo disown the Bills, right? So that's kind of how I have to manage it, right? So the Fly Eagles Fly song, which my son plays on repeat all the time.
Rocky, yeah.
You guys probably playing Shout right here. Uh-huh. And then the other one is the Space Jam, you know, Welcome to the Space Jam. It's your chance. Do your dance at the Space Jam. All right. That is,
I love it.
Literally, I hear that when I'm in practice sometimes. My son wants to play it on repeat so much. My wife's probably going through it worse with him every day.
I am not above personally, Coach, putting on the Fly Eagles Fly song, like the Rocky theme, and I like while I'm at the gym, like, cause I wanna feel like I'm Rocky running up the steps sometimes just to get me involved. I'm this Italian guy at the gym, and I'm like, I gotta put this song on just to make me feel good.
No doubt. Then all of a sudden you have headphones on and you yell Adrian, everybody's looking at you like, what's wrong with this dude, right?
I love it. Hey, listen, best of luck to you this year. Let's catch up again. This was fun. I love it. Awesome. And again, one more time, next Saturday, Syracuse UB exhibition game at KeyBank Center. That's at 7 p.m. Damon against Nazareth, our buddy Mike McDonald and Damon, they're going to be playing an exhibition game there as well. Good luck to you this year, Coach. This was fun, and I appreciate you doing it.
Thanks, Sal. Looking forward to seeing all of our Bulls fans out there next weekend. Appreciate you.
All right, you got it. That is George Halkovich III. Fun conversation right there with him. We will talk with Syracuse head basketball coach Adrian Autry. Red, he's going to join me at 11:30. So we're going to cover both sides of this exhibition coming up next Saturday. Unfortunately, I can't go. I'll be in Carolina because the Bills will be taking on the Panthers on Sunday at 1 p.m. That'll be the game after their bye. In the meantime, Sabres, Senators tonight. Paul Hamilton on the way next on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Will Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.